Morning, we thank you for joining us. This morning we're going to look at a text that tells us about a past saint, about her experience. And many times we are afraid to deal with her because it might be considered worshiping her. And I'm talking about Mary. But because we're afraid of dealing with her, we have put her to the background. And we have really not given her her due. And as I was looking at this text, the more I started to realize how special this young lady was. Because this morning we're going to talk about the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And she really demonstrates faith in action. She demonstrates that which is of a servant. Many times we say, yes, we follow God, but then when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances and adversity, we don't want to follow God anymore. And what we see in Mary is willing to take things that we wouldn't even want to dream of and tell the Lord that your will be done. And in this, God makes a promise to Mary that he's made for all of us now through his Son Jesus Christ, that he will be with us always, that he will care for us, and that he is with us. And because of this promise, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, whom was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. Please be seated. The one thing that I think we have to realize here is what we really see brewing is a scandal. We kind of have a pretty picture of the whole Christmas story and of this whole deal. But really what's going on here is the announcement of something that to the world and to the people around Mary would be very, very bad. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God into a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now the first part of this text sounds pretty cool. When you get this, we see the introduction of Mary and Joseph. But I want you to kind of think back that you don't know these people. It's really difficult because most of us have grown up with Christmas and the Christmas story. But try to think about this as you're first hearing it as an adult. Now the first thing that happens is the angel shows up and says, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Think about that message. I would be willing to bet that we would all love to have that message proclaimed to us by an angel. That we all would love to see that kind of sign. And what could be greater? An actual angel of the Lord shows up to this girl and announces that God is with you. And then comes the next thing that happens. Because it is no longer just a good story and something wonderful that happens. The messenger brings a message that would not be very peaceful. And then she saw him and was troubled at his sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. So she's already troubled. Now we heard in our first scripture reading that the Lord was with Solomon as the building of his temple. And I started thinking about this when I was reading through these texts and I'm going, you know, God is announcing to Mary that in building his new temple, the person of Jesus Christ, that God is with you. She who was going to oversee the upbringing and the care of her son, of God's son, God was assuring her that he was going to be with her. And then the angel says this, and he said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now this is the other thing that happens within this text that seems to happen every time that the announcement of Jesus Christ comes. Fear not. Do not be afraid. You see, in Christianity, there is no need to fear. We don't teach fear. We don't preach fear. Because there is nothing to fear from the coming of Jesus Christ. And this is the thing. For a long time, you hear about fear and what's going to happen. God says by his angels at the announcement of the birth of his son, and even at the announcement before the conception of his son, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." We live in a world where news bombards us constantly by newspaper, by radio, by television, of all the bad things that go on in the world. And we can easily become disillusioned and afraid. We look back and we go, "Man, the world is a much worse place than it was when I was a kid." And it's very interesting, because if you read diaries of people who have gone past, every generation has thought that the world is much worse than the last generation. And yet, who is in control? We face all kinds of things, but do we face anything like Mary faces? You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now this is a girl who is engaged to be married. She's probably in her early to mid-teens at most. And an angel comes and says, "You're going to conceive a child." She, of course, answers, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" But the whole deal is, this is the scandal. A woman in her day and age who was caught in adultery, the penalty for that was stoning to death. Now, how many people would believe that a teenager came home pregnant would believe a story that, yeah, the Holy Ghost did it? This is a scandal. This is actually one of the most scary things, if we really look at Mary, that could happen to her. She was about to lose the one who was she was engaged to be married, and we know that from another gospel, that Joseph was going to put her away. She was going to be shunned by her community. Her child wasn't going to be accepted. Mary is in the midst of something that none of us could really probably understand. She has done nothing wrong, and yet is going to face the rejection of her community and her people. But Mary really doesn't comment after that question. The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you, and therefore the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now I'm sure during all this, the questions that were running through Mary's mind during this conversation were relentless. Why me? What's going on? And yet God chooses to use this girl and calls her highly favored. And the angel has to go on and explain what's going on. And he says, "Consider your relative Elizabeth. Even that she has conceived a son in her old age. And in the sixth month, for her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Now this is the thing that we have to understand. We put limits on God and how He can work and what He can do. God can do anything He wants. He's not constrained by the rules that govern us. God is much bigger than us. And what's really interesting when I look at this, God is sending His Son, the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh. And God is not sending His Son to raise up an army and conquer the world. God is sending His Son for a much different purpose. God is sending His Son to let them grow up and teach about the kingdom of God and teach about the love that we are to have for one another, and then to allow His Son to die on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. Now, in human terms, this too seems almost impossible. Why would a perfectly holy and righteous God who has sent us His law and sent us all His rules not just destroy those who don't follow them? That's what the law says. And the Word tells us that if you're guilty of even breaking one of those commands, you're guilty of the whole. And yet the angel Gabriel says, "Fear not. God is doing something new. God is doing something very new through His servant Mary and through His Son Jesus Christ. He is introducing not law and command, but grace and mercy and truth. And this is much different. Because no longer do we have to look to God as someone who is going to strike us down. God says at the announcement of His Son, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." Mary is about to go through all these things. She's about to face. And yet there seems to be no fear in her. Because at the end of our text, this is what she said: "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done according to your word." And then the angel left her. Mary put her trust and her faith in God. And this is a tremendous example, because really and truthfully, she knew that she could be facing death and shunning. She knew she could lose the one she was engaged to be married to. And yet, at the word of the Lord, Mary said, "May it be done to me according to your word." There's a faith and a trust here that we could learn very much something from. No matter what the circumstances that happen in our lives, no matter what goes on, that we would trust and not fear. That we would know that something much bigger and much greater than us is taking care of us and is leading us and guiding us. You see, Mary is a great example. A great example of faithfulness and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She could have had all kinds of worldly things go wrong. And yet, in the midst of it, she trusted what God had said was going to happen. And God preserved her all the way through. Now, her life certainly wasn't perfect. But she knew her Savior. And that's really the thing that we're called to do. To understand that we're simply servants. And that all the things that God allows us to face in this world are just that, things that He can take care of and that He has already foreseen. Our circumstances in life are 90% of how we react to them. Are we like Mary, where we say, "May it be done to me according to thy word"? Or do we end up fighting with God and grousing about our situation? And this, to me, when you deal with Christianity, is the promise that we have. We have no need to fear what can happen to us here. Because in the end, we already know what it is. We win. And that's the reason that Jesus Christ came. And that's the reason that we can look back at Mary and see her as a saint, just like us, a believer in her Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that He came to forgive her of her sins, and looking at an example of faith in action. Can we say this in our lives? May it be done to me according to your word, O Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks as we look forward to Christmas, as we look forward to celebrating the birth of your Son through your handmaiden Mary. That, Father, we would remember her sacrifice and her faith, and that you would work in and through us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we too would have that kind of faith. Father, we ask that you would be with all those who are traveling today and throughout this Christmas season, that you would keep them safe, and you would bring them safely to and from their destinations. We pray also for all the upcoming Christmas services, that, Father, your word would be proclaimed, and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have given this world, would be brought again to those who don't know him. Father, we thank you for this time to come together and to remember what you have done for us. We thank you, Father, for the example of your servant Mary. Help us, Father, to have that heart in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.